You think Saturday. You're confused now? You should have seen me yesterday after spending 2 hours hooked up to this next guest. Yeah. 2 hours I spent with him.
Whew. I was with you. I was watching you, talking to him.
My God. The former host, the founder of Going Fishing and editor of the Canadian Fishing Bible, I called it yesterday, and I mean that, Ontario Fisherman Magazine. He is an activist, although I didn't use that word yesterday. I wish I had him now that I see it here in print. I would have loved that. He's an activist, has worked for many sportsmen's clubs, raising funds and raising fish, because that's what he does best. And he's been recognized with the Canadian Recreational Fisheries Awards. Holy smokes, this is the same guy I was with yesterday.
Yeah.
And hold on, he's been inducted into Canada's Sport Fishing Hall of Fame.
Look at him go.
I know. Our next guest, none other than, if you hadn't already figured that one out, our good friend Daryl Kranze, the Kranzenator. Daryl, how are you, buddy?
And the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
You know, if you're going to do it, do it right.
Sorry. Hang on. Let me just mark that Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Beautiful.
Now, let me tell you, that was the best 2 hours I've had in the last 20 years.
It was great, buddy. It was absolutely.
My wife was upstairs just shaking her head. I hope your wife isn't mad at me because I didn't mean ladies from Quebec.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Well, I'll let you explain that next time you call. Anyways, it was an absolute pleasure. The audience loved it. It was refreshing, and it's something that needs to be done, I think, with more frequency. So we do have something thankful for this pandemic, because without this, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing, and I think it's very refreshing. It's fantastic.
After I talked to you yesterday, I went into town to get some groceries Buckhorn. Yeah. And, you know, they say, hey, people from Toronto, please just don't invade the north. Yeah. I wish I would have had a cattle prod. What? You know, the tourists were in, but they were jamming the small shops, nobody wearing masks, nobody wearing gloves. And it was a little scary, to be honest with you.
Do you know what it is, Daryl? I think they get I call them the urbanites. I'm one of them, but I call them the urbanites. And I think just getting out to cottage country for them is they think they're getting away from this problem. And so when they get out to cottage country, I think they're going to want to let loose.
Right? You know, come on up and enjoy, really. Yeah. But, you know, I got Monica, and we had to get into town to get some supplies. And it was a little chaotic. I had two or three of them bouncing off me. There I am with my bass mask on, and I felt like I was a steel ball in a pinball machine.
Oh boy! Do you say anything to those folks? Like you bark?
Yeah,
I asked
one to get the hell out of the way, and you know he looked at me. But you know the aisles are marked up here too, but the aisles are a lot smaller than the stores in Toronto.
Right.
You know, and the stores are small, and they were just worried about filling up their carts, and it was like a pinball machine in a couple of the stores.
So they're not doing what has been asked.
At the same time, I'll be honest, a lot of the locals aren't taking this serious either. You know, it's like anywhere else.
Yeah.
And this is a damn serious thing.
I'm so glad you said that yesterday. I'm so glad you said it again here now, because especially
yesterday, buddy.
No, as we start loosening up a little bit, you know, I think we're going to lose sight of the fact that this is very real. And very serious, so I'm glad.
Well, the walleye boat or the bass boat's going in tomorrow morning, and I've got a nice slip there. A ramp where I'm going to put it in, and then I've got the slip. But like we said yesterday, I don't care what anybody says. Two guys can't go in a 14-foot boat. Remember I was saying about you get a fish on, you got a guy bouncing a net over your head. And even the charter boaters, they've got to take this real serious.
Yeah, and it's not even
the fish, it's not the money, it's common sense.
I mean, those two guys in that 14-foot boat picture you just painted, yes, of course, you're absolutely right. But it's not even that's the problem. It's the three and four guys that are going to be in a 16-foot boat that worries me.
Well, and I mentioned about, you know, if I take the Mako off the ramp at Brawny or wherever, it's nice to have people to help, but it's when you're unloading. But there's a lot of common sense has to be taken.
Yeah. I'm so glad we got a chance yesterday to finally have some time to talk about the Atlantic Salmon Project. That was refreshing in itself. That was
what did I say? You don't raise fish to waste fish, you know, and yeah. the get out of the damn experiments and raise fish for the fishermen, and it helps the economy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this has been going on for decades. We had the Splake, and then we went, that was almost 20 years, and then we had this since 1988 with the Atlantics. Again, I want to thank Dave Brown, the head of, you know, the new, he's full-time director, and I tried to get him after the show yesterday and just said, hey, I'm going to kiss your butt, but, you know, we're talking common sense, me and him, and he has made some changes. There's going to be a cutback on the Atlantics. But stocking all those Chinook off the piers the other day, they just wasted the darn things.
Why do you think that's...
Stupidity. That's not ignorance,
no,
stupidity.
No, it's not. It's not stupidity.
It is. If you should know your facts. If you don't know your facts, you don't take the job. And, you know, some of these... They had this in advance. They said they were going to stock up all those fish that didn't go into the pens. They were going to be stocked up the rivers. Well, then they stocked half of them off the breakwalls or off the harbors, and those fish are wasted. You know, this is a Chinook.
I've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about your vision of what the new normal might be in the fishing community. And more importantly, I'm talking about lodges and how we're going to react to this worldwide situation. About our lodges and lodge owners and managers of fisheries and stuff. So sit tight with me for a moment, my friend. I have to pay some bills. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
Good morning. This is Sean Kelly from Black Angus Fine Meats and Game. And when I'm not at the dump, I am listening to ODJ Radio every Saturday morning.
That's refreshing to know that my meatmonger hangs out at the dump.
Exactly.
Fantastic. welcome back to the program. Outdoor journalist, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Ayola, and he is Stephen Labadie. That's the last time I can say that. Stephen Labadie, who will no longer be Stephen Labadie behind the glass as of the end of this program, leaving us, going on to bigger and better things, apparently. And we wish him all the best with that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Derek Randale at The Fan, keeping us honest today. He tries every week, fails most times, but this guy on the line with us, our guest on the line with us, that's usually a failure, keeping us straight for sure. His name is Daryl Krunze, the famous
Real quick,
former.
Before I say one word, I listen to that buffalo breeder from Thornbury.
Oh,
my mouth was watering, and I've got to go to Owen Sound next week, and I'm stopping in at Thornbury.
Oh, you got it. Daryl, have you never met him? Have you not met
him? Oh, yeah,
ask
him about our first talk. I walked in and I knocked you. You know how I like twisting things.
Yeah.
And I walked in and he was behind the counter right off of highway, what is it, the one that goes through Thornbury anyway.
Yeah. 26.
And I walked in and he was sitting there. I thought, I wonder if this is the owner. And he said, can I help you? And I said, yeah. I said, I just heard that Italian guy on the radio talking about your meat. I says, he doesn't know much. Just to twist him, see what he'd say.
Yeah,
boy, did he come to your defense. And I thought, I've got him going, and I did it a couple more times. I walked out of there broke, but no, his prices are good, and his meat's fantastic.
Oh, great guy. Just wonderful. I would love to be the fly on the wall having a conversation or listening to a conversation between you two. That would be mind-boggling.
Hey, and I had him going. I'm sure. I just loved it.
I could imagine. So let's move forward down the timeline a bit, Daryl. Let's make some assumptions. Let's make some assumptions that by the end of this summer, we will be relatively normal and back on track in that we can now travel and now all businesses are open. That's maybe wishful thinking on my part, but let's go with that just to set this up. How do you see, first of all, let's talk about fishing operators, lodges, outfitters, resorts that you know, really depend on fishing for their income. How do you see them holding up? I mean, there was a survey done a couple of weeks ago that kind of insinuated that up to 52% of those operators are already saying they will not be back.
like we talked yesterday, I think it's more than 52%. You know, really, it's a tough industry, and I think, you know, a lot of them are really supported by the Americans. There's no two ways about it, right. No matter what anybody says. But, Crepe, I'm 70 years old, and you're in the north, and I'm in the north, and the eastern Ontario get a lot of Ontario people. The western Ontario and, you know, going into BC and all that, they're majorly dependent on Americans. Yeah. And we've got to smarten up the people in Toronto and Hamilton and Niagara Falls, the Canadians, to get up there and learn what they're missing, because that's paradise up there.
Yeah,
and these guys are going to struggle. There's no two ways about it. It's just a fact of life.
You know, some of them, and I hate using them, the word them, because most of them are my friends. I've known and worked with these people, as you have, Daryl, for the better part of four decades, so you get to know them. But most of them have ignored the potential Canadian client because of the lucrative American dollars and because of the perception that, you know, Americans have about Canada being the last frontier, which, by the way, it is. They're right on that. It's not a perception. But most of the operators have spent all of their careers marketing to the U.S. traveler. And
and you have to understand the bigger lodges, and I'm talking the bigger lodges, they really, in the past, and it started going down the last 15 years, but they really catered to the corporate accounts.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And those corporate accounts dried up, Ange, you know, in the last 10 or 15 years, to a major extent, I'll say.
Yeah.
But we've got to, the sportsman show is not like the sportsman show of old in Toronto. Remember, we talked that yesterday.
Yeah.
That the Americans, or the camps up north, are really hitting these the All Canada shows and that in the States, and they're great shows. Yep. But we've got to open the eyes of Ontario people to really understand what they're missing up north.
Daryl, is it a cultural thing? Yeah, and I don't mean that culture in like traditional culture, but the Americans. Let's be perfectly honest about this. Americans. It's kind of woven into their very fiber that once a year they're going to spend money and they're going to travel north and they're going to immerse themselves in this beautiful, pristine wilderness thing called Canada. And it is a culture. Is it a lack of that culture here in Canada?
I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm going to tell you something. When I lived down in Point Avenue, mm-hmm. and you know, fishing Lake Erie, and in Lake Ontario, the Americans they put more effort into fishing overall than we do. And that's the honest truth. You know, they've got the smoking shops, smoke your fish at the gas stations at Oswego, and you've got all this big push on fishing Lake Erie on the American side.
Yeah.
We've done, the government's done a crap job, no matter whether it's liberal or conservative, promoting fishing. But it's also affected the Canadian anglers. There's more guys fishing the bush up at Wawa from Wawa than you know, and that's a small population. Yes. And you'll see Canadians fishing the bush from Toronto.
Yep.
And it's got to be promoted a hell of a lot better than what it's done.
Yeah, yeah. We're not doing enough internally, and that's my.
And like you said, for the last 15 years, you knew there was 1,000, you know, lodges and that always for sale, but. Yep. This one is going to be a death knell for some of them.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know whether, and I'd like to think we can. I certainly am going to do my part to help promote staying within our own country, our province, in most cases, when it comes to vacationing in the next couple of years. But I don't know whether we can. I don't know whether it's going to be possible. I don't think that the average Canadian angler, and I'll even go farther than that, the average Ontario angler has got it within them to take money that they would normally invest in a U.S. trip and invest it here in Canada.
You know, if you look, and I might as well get myself in trouble again, but natural resources is the low ministry or one of the lowest ministries on the totem pole. So the significance isn't there. And they spent some money on tourism, but until we got into the ballgame a couple of years ago, me, you, and the other guys, there wasn't a really funding spent on tourism, fishing. And fishing is, in my opinion, every newspaper, we talked about it yesterday, every newspaper had an outdoor writer in the States and in Canada. Yeah. There's no outdoor writer in the Toronto Star. There's no outdoor writer in the Vancouver paper. I don't know about Vancouver, but I doubt it. The outdoor newspaper writers are gone.
Yeah.
And they used to send the Greg Clarks, the Tiny Bennetts. They used to send a lot of people north.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
If you go to Wawa, and I'm in the border, we stay in the motels before we fly into the bush. They're nearly all American guys. And I told you yesterday, I love that ride to Nakina.
Yeah.
You know, we stop at Hearst or wherever and spend the night before we drive another hour and get into the camp. It's a 17-hour ride. We talked about that yesterday to Nakina to get on the float plane. But, boy, when you get there, but it's not just Nakina. You've got, outside of Timmins, you've got, Kasagami up north. And I don't want to get into lodges because I forgot a couple yesterday. But... They need support, and Canadians wear blinders. I'm serious, the majority of the population. They don't know what it's like to get up there, smell the fresh air, and catch the fish and eat the shore lunch.
Yeah, and that's why I say I think it's a cultural thing, believe it or not. We like to think that we exemplify wilderness and pristine areas and the outdoors and rough and tumble and all that good stuff. We like to think that we do, but when it comes right down to it, I don't think we have that passion and connection as much as others might have, you know?
It's really been slipping. And, you know, I'm on Facebook a heck of a lot, and I know the cost of some of these fly-ins. Listen.
They're not cheap.
No, but if you spend say you spend $750 a person for a week or 5 days, you know, and that includes a fly-in, and four guys get up there, you could spend that much in Niagara Falls at the casino in one night or looking at Niagara Falls by the time you get through with the motel rooms.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way,
we've missed the boat, really.
I don't want to say this, that, you know, I use that example maybe a little too broadly, and I don't want to give anybody out there the impression that that I think everybody's like that. I'm just saying that the majority of the whatever number you want to use, you know, let's go with the 6.5 million licensed anglers. The majority of those 6.5 million folks aren't inclined to spend a couple of thousand bucks on a 3 or 4 night trip to Lodge 88. You know what I mean? I'm using that just as an example.
No, you're kissing butt, but that's okay.
But it's true, and I hope that changes. I hope that this virus will have a positive spinoff when it's all said and done, and we're going to look within, and we're going to start spending our money within. And then I feel comfortable and confident that we can help the North, because right now the North is looking pretty bleak. Let me tell you.
And if you think of this, and I mentioned this about the tourists coming up yesterday, you head north, and if it's legal to go north like that, and it's legal that they're opening these lodges, utilize it. You're away from people.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I mean? It's a one of a kind of experience up there. I've been doing it for 50 years, and there's nothing like it.
You're old, man. Holy mackerel.
I am really old. I'm 72 this year. Leave me alone.
And you know what? To me, you're still a 35-year-old man. That's all I got to tell you.
Geez, I wish my wife thought that way.
Darryl, always a pleasure having you on the program, my friend. You stay healthy, stay safe, and stay true to yourself.
I'm going morel picking, and I'm going to do a little sandpapering on the Stratos, and I'm going to get ready to dump it in the water tomorrow.
Attaboy. Enjoy it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You take care.
All right. Darryl Cranzi, former host of the ever-popular, still today people talk about it, Going Fishing television series, editor of Ontario Fisherman Magazine. And we talked with Darryl yesterday on a podcast, or what do you call that?
Live stream.
Yeah, sure. Let's call it that.
Whatever.
And we talked about his history and how he got into the business, and some interesting things came out. You might want to go check that out.
Word of warning: there's some foul language.
Yeah, we had a hard time keeping him under control, but nonetheless.